From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Gunrunner reaching for the wire, collected alongside, and then comes West Coast and War Story. But Gunrunner's on top of the world! He wins the Breeders' Cup Classic!
Arrogator's getting going late now. Collected is in front. Arrogate closing on the outside. It's a Bob Baffert 1-2, but Collected gonna win it. Collected and Martin Garcia won the Pacific Classic.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
But Arrogate swoops up on the outside. America's King Croesus of horse racing went to the front. 200 meters left to go. Arrogate has drawn away from Gunrunner.
Always dreaming with a 2.5 length lead of 16th to go. Looking at Lee is second. Then comes Battle of Midway, Classic Empire. They're coming to the line, and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
Now, here's Mike Pena.
84 days, 8 hours, 54 minutes, and 49 seconds. That's the time remaining until the first Saturday in May and the Run for the Roses at Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky. Welcome to the Equine Forum. Good morning, everyone. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch. Happy to have you with me in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. The Pontiff of the Pick Four enjoying a little R&R over the course of the next couple of weekends. So in light of that fact, we welcome Billy White, the man who is responsible for the Jimmy Johns here in Lexington, Kentucky. So all of you who have enjoyed a Jimmy John's sandwich over the years in Lexington, you know who to thank, and that is Billy White, who is my special guest co-host in our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios. How about that?
Good morning, Mike. That was a great intro.
I don't know about great, but
and they'll be
it was
thankful. The only thing they should be thankful for is that I did not make the sandwiches.
Yeah. Well, you give out the free cookies, though.
I do.
The people who run the store, I mean, of course, you own them, but the people who run the stores get a little upset with you sometimes because you give away all the cookies.
They make fun of me. They make fun of me when I try to make a sandwich, but I tend to give away more food than we sell a lot of times, but that's important. We've had a good business and, it's been almost 20 years, and we'll let the kids run the stores, and I'll be the guy kissing babies and shaking hands.
When Jude told me that he was going to be gone for a couple of weeks here, the first person I thought of was you. I said, well, it's the Jimmy Johns of Lexington Studios. Let's have Billy White from Jimmy Johns come into studio here. And we actually thought about doing the program this morning from your newest location here in Lexington. If people haven't heard about that, there is a new location. What is it? Store number like 12 now?
It's our 12th store, 11th here in Lexington. And the store that we purchased in 1999 on Limestone, which is our original store, is store number 75 in the chain. This store that we opened on Mill Street, right at the corner of Mill and Main, at the opposite end of the same building at that new Starbucks, the redone Starbucks, right downtown, is store number 3950, 3950. So,
wow.
As I've always said, my wife and I have two children in college, and Jimmy John has a $100 million yacht. And he does. It's called the Rocket. Just Google that. So, sandwich business is good. It's been a phenomenal ride.
Well, and the racing business is good right now, too. There are a lot of really neat things happening in the sport. Last weekend, Jude and I were down at Gulfstream. We brought our listeners coverage of the Grade II Holy Bull Stakes, which is kind of the first stepping stone along that road to the Kentucky Derby in South Florida. You still have the Fountain of Youth coming up in a few weeks and then the Florida Derby at the end of March. But a really good performance last week from Audible for trainer Todd Pletcher. And it was funny. We were talking about Kieran McLaughlin quite a bit going into that race with Enticed, as he was the morning line favorite. Dale Romans had a few horses in the race, and we talked a lot about Dale. And as they were going to the starting gate, I looked at Jude on the broadcast and I said, Jude, one name we haven't mentioned a whole lot yet is Todd Pletcher. And whenever Todd Pletcher has a horse, a 3-year-old in one of those Derby preps, especially at Gulfstream, you better pay attention. And Audible, he delivered, and he delivered in a big way.
Yeah, I thought I watched that race. It was a really good race by Audible. And I also like Kieran McLaughlin's horse. I'd like to bet him back last time. He said he took a lot of kickback.
He did.
He was inside. Could not find himself clear and get out of the mess and just never fired. I think he ran third or third or fourth.
He when he finally got clear, I maybe would have liked to have seen a little more acceleration from Enticed than what we saw. But keep in mind, it was his first start as a three-year-old. He was coming off of that, you know, bit of a layoff. And they can't be disappointed in the effort. I think they're disappointed in the trip that they got. And yep. that maybe he didn't get a fair shake.
Was that his first time around two turns?
I
don't remember the PPs on that.
That's a great question. I don't remember. I don't know if it was. But either way, he's a horse that should improve off of that effort. The other Kieran McLaughlin, three-year-old, looked really good winning in New York in the Withers. That was Avery Island.
Right.
He ran a big race there, too.
We'll talk more about that race, I think, later on with the San Vicente, right? Because, I'm sorry, the favorite in the Sam Davis beat...
Catholic Boy.
Beat that horse in the Withers.
Yeah, Catholic Boy.
Wow, that's going to be a big race today. It'll be a lot of good races today. And yeah, I thought your countdown was for the Pittsburgh Steelers' first preseason game. Then I realized you were talking about the Derby, and I just wanted to say I'm sorry about the Steelers.
So for the past 3 weeks, I have neglected for the past 3 weeks to end this program with my usual go Steelers. They had 3 weeks probation. They're off probation now. It helped that Tom Brady and the Patriots lost the Super Bowl. That helped me feel a little bit better. So they're off. I actually broke out my new Steelers cap for the 2018-2019 season, which I hadn't done. I hadn't put a Steeler cap on since they got beat.
Something tells me that you were the biggest Philadelphia fan in Versailles. I can imagine.
Massive. Fly, Eagles, fly. Yeah.
They sure did. Tom is 40. He's getting a little long in the tooth, but Philadelphia had a phenomenal team and a phenomenal season. But I just wanted to say I'm sorry about Steelers because I love them too.
Yeah, appreciate that, bro. So you mentioned the name Catholic Boy. Catholic Boy is the big story in the Sam F. Davis at Tampa Bay Downs this afternoon. That is the lone Derby points race. I won't say Derby prep race, but the lone Derby points race on the docket for this afternoon. The winner going to get 10 points. Catholic Boy already has 10 points by virtue of that win, as Billy alluded to, over Avery Island in the Remsen at Aqueduct last December. So Catholic Boy looking to add to that total, and a win today would certainly go a long way toward getting him in the starting gate on the first Saturday in May, all things being equal, 80-something days from today. Jonathan Thomas, the trainer of Catholic Boy, is going to be with us right after our first commercial break, right around 8:15 or so. We'll talk to Jonathan. We'll talk to him about the development of Catholic Boy from 2 to 3. We'll look back on that performance in the Remsen, get his thoughts there, and get his thoughts on today's Sam F. Davis. He also has another horse going to the post at Gulfstream Park in the Gulfstream Park turf. So we'll talk to Jonathan coming up about that, too. Second hour features Jay Pribman from the Daily Racing Form. Jay is on top of things on the West Coast, and he is on top of the three-year-old picture. They have their Derby watch, which is out there now, which we'll talk to Jay about. But, Billy, the San Vicente Stakes takes place at Santa Anita this afternoon. Axeman for Bob Baffert, one of two horses entered for Baffert, but Axeman is the morning line favorite, ran a hole in the wind in his debut, and if he can come back even close to that performance, he's going to be a handful today. Bob has won the San Vicente a record 9 times, so if he can pull it off today, he'll just add to the record. He'll reach double digits.
Yeah, should be very interesting to watch Axeman. The one thing I would say is I checked out some Derby futures, and I would go right now and buy a Derby future on Axeman. I think he's 60 or 70 to 1 in the Derby.
Good.
If he airs today, he's going to be 10 to 1 and one of the favorites. He hasn't gone two turns yet, but 9 links he broke his maiden last time out, and it's going to be, he could be any kind. And when they say that, you know you better pay attention. And it's Bob
Baffert. The San Vicente has been a relatively productive race when
Absolutely.
It comes to a Kentucky Derby winner. I mean, Bob's first winner in the race, people may not remember this, was back in 1997 with a little horse by the name of Silver Charm.
Yeah, just
a
little horse.
He won the San Vicente, went on and did some big things, winning the Derby and the Preakness. Nyquist 2 years ago.
Right.
3 years ago now, I guess it is.
A lot of big horses come out of San Vicente.
Yeah. Yeah, they come out of there and they run really well. So we're going to talk to Jay Privman coming up about 9 o'clock Eastern from Daily Racing Form. Mike Nyman from Gulfstream, the director of marketing, will be with us for his weekly visit right around 9:25 Eastern time. And then Keith Chamberlain from the NTRA will join us live from Las Vegas. He's going to get up early and be with us around 9:40 Eastern to tell us about the National Handicapping Championship, which is taking place now. And that's a tremendous event. It's been they've grown this event to be something really special, and it's grown each and every year. So excited to catch up with Keith about that.
Yeah, winner took home $750,000 last year.
Might even be more than that, but it's It's a ridiculous amount.
Yeah,
of
that's
money.
That's a lot of fun.
That's what they call a score.
Yeah, that, I would say that's never happened to me.
Not that kind of money.
No, no way.
Not that kind of money. All right, so we'll talk to Keith coming up at the end of the show. So a lot to get to. Here's our poll question for this morning. You can weigh in at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook as well. Looking back on last week's prep races, you had Audible win the Holy Bull, Avery Island in the Withers, and Lombus taking the Robert D. Lewis, okay? Of those three, those are your three choices. Which was most impressive to you? A lot of people are going to say Audible because he won by open lengths, but we'll see. Who was most impressive last week? Was it Audible? Was it Avery Island or Lombus out in California? Weigh in now at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, and we will get you those results as we move throughout the program this morning. Get to our first break. When we come back, Jonathan Thomas joins us right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5.
He's as well-bred as horses get. As a son of Dyna former, we see Temple City following that same path.
Archegalos has got it won. The Grey Stakes to Archegalos and scores too late.
Annals of Time just flew past him, and Annals of Time, a striking one.
Miss Temple City, ironic as charging, Miss Temple City.
The start that he's gotten off to has just been spectacular. We're really excited about the future.
Temple City, now standing at Spindrift Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080 or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
Okay, this is Carl Nasker, and I listen to HRRN.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Avery Island is in behind the front runners as they come off the turn and enter the stretch. And here is Catholic Boy now to take over the lead. Catholic Boy in front as they pass the 3/16 pole. Catholic Boy with a three-length lead. Then Avery Island and Vouch and Tap Rap Strike at Alcatraz. But it's Catholic Boy, and he may have grown up some today. Catholic Boy wins the Remsen under Manny Franco. Avery Island was second, and Vouch finished third. The time was 1 minute 52 and 2/5 seconds.
John Embriel with the call of that Remsen Stakes back in December. Big effort from Catholic Boy in his dirt debut. All of his efforts prior to that were on the grass, but boy, did he prove that he could handle the main track, and he did it exceptionally well, defeating Avery Island, who, as we told you at the top of the show, came back to win the Withers last week. So that's a feather in the cap of Catholic Boy as well. Catholic Boy trained by Jonathan Thomas, who has saddled 31 winners to date, but this would be a big one if he can pull it off this afternoon with Catholic Boy in the Sam F. Davis and get him started down that road to the Kentucky Derby on the first Saturday in May. Mike Penna and Billy White in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios, and Jonathan Thomas joining us now from Tampa Bay Downs as he gets set to send out Catholic Boy this afternoon. Jonathan, welcome, my friend.
Good morning. How are you all?
Everything is great. I'm sure it's a little nicer in Florida than what it is here in Kentucky right now.
I can only imagine. The weather here has actually been beautiful. I think it's supposed to be in the low 80s today and, you know, clear skies. So we can't – no complaints from down here.
Well, I know you're excited to get Catholic Boy started with this three-year-old campaign. Let's start by looking back on that performance in the Remsen, his dirt debut, and then kind of walk us through the past couple of months.
Well, essentially, when we ran him in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, we felt like we were taking a relatively fresh horse in, and we were expecting him to, you know, run well off of how he was training. And, you know, the thing was, we really needed something to do after that. So, you know, even the week before the Breeders' Cup, you know, we had kind of started to play around with the idea of the Remsen, and you know, with this performance in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf and how he galloped out, we felt like stretching him out to a mile and an eighth would be, you know, a tremendous opportunity for us. And, you know, fortunately, the Remsen provided that platform. And so, you know, we actually flew him from California to Belmont. Todd Fletcher was instrumental. He kind of housed the horse and, you know, helped facilitate a lot of the training and staff, and he was a tremendous asset and getting the horse prepared for that race. And you know, we were thrilled with the outcome. So,
well, you should be thrilled.
Absolutely.
Nearly five lengths, I guess, and defeated Avery Island. Avery Island came back and won the Withers last weekend. How excited were you to see him run well?
Well, you always like to, you know, see your form flattered by horses that you've run with in the past. So that definitely was kind of a, you know, a feather in his cap, and I think, you know, legitimized the race. You know, I realized on paper it wasn't the fastest thing on earth, but, you know, having spent a lot of time in New York, I mean, you know, later in the depths of the fall and early winter and a deep track, you don't see those blockbuster numbers that everybody gets really excited about, but I just loved, you know, some of the horses he ran against, and obviously Avery Island following up with his effort was you know, it was great to see.
Yeah, good for you. Jonathan, Billy White, how are you?
Great, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great. Two things that jump out to me about this horse is, boy, you've shipped him back and forth, and he's acclimated great to that, and then you take him from turf to dirt, and he's done great. That's phenomenal. When you can do that, that's too great. You got a lot of options with this horse.
It makes life a lot easier.
Sure does.
But the bottom line is, I mean, he's basically, you know, he's put us in that scenario. I mean, we wouldn't be able to do it without the horse. And, you know, in all fairness to him, he's made life very easy on us. He ships well. You know, credit to him, he's never run over the same racetrack yet. And I guess a lot of that has to do with the fact that, you know, our main base is at Bridlewood Farm in Ocala, so you know, we have the luxury of shipping and kind of trying to find the proper spots for horses. And you know, but he's allowed us to do that because Lord knows you can't do it with every horse.
Yeah, absolutely. Were you nervous when you ran him for $50,000 maiden?
That wasn't a maiden special. Yeah,
that was a maiden special.
Yeah. His debut.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, he probably was nervous though.
Absolutely.
No, I mean, you know, we were taking at the time what we thought just a big. I don't want to say gawky. That might be too harsh a word, but just, you know, somewhat immature horse that had been training well for us, but, you know, running two turns first time for a 2-year old. I mean, it's hard to expect a horse to win first time out, but we felt like we had laid a very good foundation with him, and he was showing us enough. I mean, we weren't expecting him to win like he did, but the great thing about winning, you know, in the middle of the summer with a 2-year old is, you know, your next option normally is a stake race. And, you know, so we were excited about him showing enough first time out to think about going to Saratoga and with anticipation. The main thing for us, he just never showed that blazing 6 furlong you know, kind of sprint speed. We were just waiting to run him a little bit further, and the turf really is your only option to run two turns, you know, early in a two-year-old's career.
Wow, and it looked like the public liked him 5-1 that day, so he must have looked pretty good.
I think he did. I really can't remember. I remember the complexion of the race. I'm kind of a little, and actually, I want to say, without it being a key race, there were a couple of horses that actually came out of that race and ended up winning next time out. So, you know, I'm not really remembering what he ran against, but you know, I think he had enough under his belt work wise to be fair odds, you know.
Talking with trainer Jonathan Thomas here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. All right, Jonathan. So last week I had a chance to visit with Kieran and with Dale on the same program. And one thing we talked about was the development of their three-year-olds from their two-year-old finale. And these past couple of months have been huge for their horses. Take me back through the past couple of months with Catholic Boy and some of the things that you're seeing from him that might be encouraging you going forward.
Well, from a physical standpoint, he's, you know, he's put on some flesh. Not that he was a light or skinny horse early, but just from a maturation standpoint, he's fleshed out over his hips and through his neck and his shoulder and, you know, done the sort of physical things you'd like to see a horse do. You know, one of the scary things sometimes with a two-year-old is they plateau and physically they don't develop. But he's always been a very methodic horse. He's never done anything outrageous in the sense that it's been, you know, quick. He's just been a very methodic horse, and he's been the same way from a growth curve and a development. So, you know, we're happy with how he looks physically, and you know, it's hard to compare him to his two-year-old year, because in fairness to him, he really did little wrong. He just showed up for every work we needed him to. He didn't miss any training. So more important for me with this particular horse is that he just kind of maintains where he's going, and obviously we're going to learn a lot in the afternoon. So, I mean, that's, you know, he breathes well. He does everything well enough in the morning that really what we're going to learn is going to be learned in the afternoon.
What do you need to see from him today?
I mean, today, listen, we have a tremendous amount of respect for this race, and we pinpointed it right after the Remsen, and we've trained accordingly. You know, we'd love to be very competitive. We'd love to win the race, but we are also taking the mindset that, you know, if we're fortunate enough, we have a horse that, you know, could possibly run, you know, four or five times in the next, you know, 6 months. So, you know, we've trained him methodically, but without, you know, squeezing the lemon. So I'm looking for, you know, I'm looking for a good effort, and hopefully it's somewhat of a replication of what he did in the Remsen, you know, backing up a 16th of a mile. I don't know, you know, it's probably going to be a little bit faster today than he saw in the Remsen, so there's a chance he might be a little more detached. I'm not sure. So we're just looking for a good effort. We're not going to force an issue, and hope he comes with a big run and, you know, kind of comes closing like he has done historically in his other races. And like I said, with him, I think his real strength is the further they go, the better he seems to get. So I'd love to see somewhat of a replication of what he did in New York. But listen, that, you know, that's also a lofty expectation sometimes 10 weeks off the bench. So we'll see.
You know, you had the privilege, Jonathan, of going to the school of Todd Pletcher, if you look at it in that way, mm-hmm. Working with Todd, being around so many good horses in your time spent with Todd Pletcher. How much is that helping you now that you have a good three-year-old of your own? Are there certain aspects of that program that you're taking?
Yeah, I think it there's no doubt it's helped tremendously. And I think certainly from a preparation standpoint and the training, you know, you're kind of used to the training format of developing these three-year-olds. But more importantly, I always just thought Todd had such composure training these horses, and he didn't let, you know, definitely, you know, you get a lot more spotlight and every work's picked apart and everything you do with a horse gets picked apart a little bit. And I think if I learned anything, it's just to relax and kind of let things come to you and not force the issue. And at the end of the day, development is key. So we're trying to let this horse and, you know, any others that we're fortunate enough to get to just kind of to develop and let those horses take us. And I think that was a big thing we learned. And, you know, I sat down with my staff and I said, look, you know, we're going to be getting a lot more attention than we're used to. And, but at the end of the day, this horse has made life easy on us. So let's make life easy on him and just relax and, you know, enjoy the experience. And ultimately, listen, it's very simple. If they're good enough, normally they take you there. And that's just kind of what we're trying. That's kind of our mantra, you know, race by race.
Yeah, good for you. That's a great attitude to have. I'm looking at this at the PPs. Is Mr. Pletcher's horse one that you're watching today in this race?
I'm Vino scared Rossi. Of that white bridle anytime I see it. it doesn't matter what race it is. I mean, I always have tremendous respect for him. But, yeah, I mean, listen, he's a beautifully bred horse that is 2 for 2. He won a prep going 2 turns in an allowance race over the racetrack, and I think that's always a big thing. And, I mean, if anyone has executed these Triple Crown prep races better than Johnny and Todd, I've not met him. You know? So we're definitely, you know, giving him quite a bit of respect. And ironically, I bought this horse's half-brother at the yearling sale. He's a colt by Super Saver, and the horse trains right now well, so you know, there's evidence that this horse has got a quality bottom through the mare side, and he had a weanling half sell for 300 by Pioneer of the Nile. So, you know, the horse obviously has a bit of quality, and we're actually seeing it through the family. So from a greedy standpoint, I'm hoping he runs well for the half that I bought, but not too well. So if he can finish second, that'd be awesome for us today.
A nice second place finish for that horse would be fine. Yeah, underneath your exacted. That's what I'm going to bet today.
Exactly. But listen, I mean, he's the king of these things. So, I mean, you've got to show him tremendous respect. And I think in any of these races, you know, as time goes on, you have to show every horse respect, because the waters are only going to get deeper, and horses have earned their ways into these things. And listen, there might be a horse in this race. Maybe the maiden on the rail jumps up and runs huge. I don't know. I mean, it's the fun time of year for that aspect. I mean, any horse still has a shot.
Jonathan, why is Todd so successful with these young horses?
I think it has a lot to do with his how he prepares and how he trains, and you know, he just covers all of his bases. And I think a lot of times with the young horses, you know, if they're physically gifted, they're going to execute that part on the racetrack with proper management. I mean, you know, I'm not saying all of us could train a horse that's a physical powerhouse, but it certainly helps. But I think all the little nuances that people don't think about, tremendous gait schooling, I've seen horses lose races because, you know, the first time they're hooked up to a pony is going out to the racetrack on race day and they throw a fit. I just think he covers every aspect of what a horse might encounter on a race day, in a race day experience. And, you know, listen, horses can lose their races back at the barn. They can lose their races with the pony. They can lose their races throwing a fit at the gate because they haven't been schooled properly. So he just covers every aspect that you can imagine that most people don't think about, you know? So I think the behavior and the disposition of a horse goes a long way, and they're just taught manners, and they're, you know, it's just the whole process, you know? There's so much more, and I don't have to tell you all, but there's so much more that goes on in their day-to-day lives and just what happens on the racetrack, and I think that's a big part of it.
Trainer Jonathan Thomas with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. He'll send out Catholic Boy in the CMF Davis at Tampa Bay Downs this afternoon. He'll also send out March in the Grade 1 Gulfstream Park Turf Handicap across the state at Gulfstream in Hallandale Beach. Jonathan, I want to ask you about March in just a minute, but I was looking at the Equibase statistics, and when you pull up your page on Equibase, it shows that you've saddled a total of 31 winners in your career, but it also shows that in 2018 you're undefeated, a perfect 5 for 5. Are you kind of in a zone?
Are we undefeated?
It shows that right here. It says 5 for 5 in 2018.
I know we're like 40-some% at Gulfstream. I mean, we've ran a limited amount in January and obviously the beginning of February, but
Hey, go with undefeated. It sounds better.
I might have to check the accuracy of that.
I got you at 43% at Gulfstream. Three winners in a second out of seven.
Yeah,
at Gulfstream
I don't know.
Park.
I mean, hey, this is the official database
now,
of horse racing.
This summer, we did go on two runs where we were 5 for 5, and then we came back and we were 6 for 6. So that might be from that. We got fortunate where we went on a pretty good little streak with some maidens.
Well, you're in a scrap over there at Gulfstream today. That's going to be a nice race.
It's a really neat race. So this horse, he came to us about 10 months ago, and he's just a horse that had run quite a bit and had a little age on him, but was really well taken care of. So we brought him home and just freshened him up, and he started to train well off our facility. So we had a great opportunity to run him. Thought he ran great off the layoff. And he's just a cool horse with back class. And listen, this is a grade one with some neat horses in it. But we felt like this time of year, going a route on the grass with older horses, it was the right move to go ahead and try. And I think with his style, he's a very easy horse to kind of position depending on how the race flows. That doesn't happen with a lot of horses. Sometimes you overthink the way a race might play out, but and force a horse to do something they might be a little uncomfortable with. But he's got enough speed. If we can lay close, it's great. If he needs to rate, he's very rateable. So, it's worth a shot.
Jonathan, I know you have to get going. You have a busy morning. Just one more question. Robert LaPenta, the owner of March, also involved in the ownership of Catholic Boy. Talk about that relationship for just a minute.
It's been a really, really cool relationship. The way it all started is, we started to get some horses for him in a layup capacity, and that went well. And then we got an opportunity to buy a couple young horses for him, and Catholic Boy happened to be one of the first horses, my team was lucky enough to purchase for him and develop and ultimately run. And that's been a very cool thing to kind of, take a horse from literally from being a short yearling out of sale to a great estate company. That's been a really amazing experience for me because I love all of those things. But he's facilitated it all. He's a great sportsman. He's a great, I think some of these better owners, they're not just great owners, but they're great facilitators and caretakers and let you do what you think is right by horses. And he's just been behind us 100%. And the sport's very lucky to have a guy like him.
Jonathan Thomas, like all of our guests who appear on the program, going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace the race at embracetherace.com. Jonathan, appreciate the time.
Just remember, I'm a little fella, okay? No XL for me.
You'll be tall today.
Yeah, you might be standing tall. Hey, 84 days, 8 hours, 23 minutes, and 0 seconds until that Kentucky Derby. So all the best going down that road.
I appreciate it, guys. It's always a pleasure to speak with you all. And listen, you guys are great for the business, and thanks for what you do.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Good luck today.
All right, appreciate it. Take care.
All right, busy day for Jonathan Thomas. You're right. He might be standing a little taller after today. A couple of big shots and big stakes races.
It's amazing the temperament that the best trainers have. I've raced horses in the past, and the guys who trained them or our managing partner would always say, if you win, act like you've been there before. If you lose, act like you enjoy it. And I cried when they won. I cried when they lost. These guys you have to be that way. You just don't know what's going to happen. And he's got a lot to going on in the next 4 or 5 months with this horse. And this horse is throwing great.
Yeah.
I mean, he's winning races. He's only
he's
not
done
won
nothing
one
wrong.
Time.
You heard
Absolutely.
Him say that. He's done nothing wrong during his two-year-old season.
And he might run him 4 more times.
Yeah.
I mean.
There's nothing wrong with this. I mean, this is a good horse, Catholic Boy. And Jonathan feeling pretty confident, I think, in his chances this afternoon. But you heard him say, look, let's just get a good race into him. This is not the end goal. Right, the end goal comes on the first Saturday in May. So you're just trying to get him started. Kieran told us the same thing last year with his or last week with his horses. Just get him started.
Absolutely.
Dale said the same thing. Just get him started, see where you are, and then go from there.
You don't want to peak too soon, and I think he's got a horse that's Man, his works look good. I think he'll run a nice race today.
Yeah, he said the further they go, the better for Catholic Boy, which bodes well moving forward. And, yeah, Equibase, 5-for-5 in 2018 is what it shows for Jonathan Thomas. Just undefeated, Jonathan.
43% at Gulfstream Park. That's unheard of.
Yeah, it's a sizzling pretty. Well, he went to the school of Todd Pletcher, so emulating his mentor, no doubt. All right, we're going to get to a Lexus Legends of the Turf segment here, and it's brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Lexus store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty right here in Lexington, Kentucky. And I tell you each and every week, I've been telling you for, oh gosh, about 15 years on this program, that if you are in the market for a new vehicle or a pre-owned vehicle, there is only one place to go in central Kentucky. It is the Lexus store of Lexington. If you're in the horse business, they will take care of you like none other. It's the godfather, Tony Attiano, Mike Hendricks, all the great folks at the Lexus store. They're horse people, and they want to be the dealership of the equine industry. Go see them, the Lexus store of Lexington. We're back right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
On November 3rd, 1923, the largest crowd ever to pass through the gates at Latonia was on hand for the running of the championship stakes. Sportsmen from Maine to California, from Minnesota to Florida were there and filled with enormous excitement, enthusiasm, and expectation. What they came to see was a most memorable horse race indeed. Harry F. Sinclair's Great Zeb, coming off a resounding win over Papyrus in a match race at Belmont Park a few weeks earlier, was to be challenged by Carl Weideman's In Memoriam and the superb My Own. The value of the race was a hefty $50,000, and there were four entries. The track was in excellent shape in spite of a day-long drizzle. Earl Sandy was to be aboard Zeb as usual. Matt Garner had a leg up on In Memoriam, and Earl Poole had the mount on My Own. The crowd, so huge that the infield had to handle the overflow, included James M. Cox, the former governor of Ohio, who was a presidential candidate at the time on the Democratic ticket. Cox was to present the winning owner a gold cup. There was a lot to be proven in this race. Zeb had beaten In Memoriam in the Kentucky Derby, but many observers felt In Memoriam was at less than top form in that outing. It was 3:38 in the afternoon on that November 3rd of 1923 when the four-horse field reached the starting gate at the head of the stretch. Starter William Hamilton had his hands full in spite of the small field, and it took 3 minutes to establish some form of order. But when they aligned to his satisfaction, he got them away to a perfect start. In Memoriam had been particularly raucous at the post, but once settled down was away in front. Zeb was second, then Rialto and My Own. Going by the stands for the first time, first it was In Memoriam and then Zeb exchanging leads. Zeb then assumed command with My Own moving up to second, In Memoriam third, and then Rialto. Zeb was being settled into stride and well rated into and on around the turn and continued to set the pace down the long backside. It did not appear, however, that Zeb was running with his customary long, smooth stride. At the far turn, Earl Sandy appeared to be having trouble rating Zeb, and it now looked to be which challenger would be the first to corral the leader, In Memoriam or My Own. As they hit the top of the stretch in the run for the wire, Matt Garner asked In Memoriam for extra speed, and he got it as he pulled even with Zeb. Sandy dug in on Zeb and asked his big brown colt who was wearing blinkers for reserve speed and energy. My Own, under Poole, was not far back, but was flattening out. In Memoriam got by Zeb at the eighth pole, even though Sandy was whipping and driving for all he was worth on the gallant Zeb, who was soundly beaten the last 16th. In Memoriam had gained sweet revenge for the Derby defeat and coasted home a winner, and after In Memoriam had won, owner Carl Weideman said he had known all along his horse could whip the other three, all of whom had been shipped in from the East. Quote, "There never was any doubt in my mind that In Memoriam could trim Zeb or My Own. My colt's win today bears that theory out. None of the Easterners had any excuse to offer, and I acknowledge their sportsmanship as none of them tried to alibi." Unquote. A great moment. The Latonia Championship Stakes, November 3rd, 1923, when In Memoriam with Zeb and My Own in Thoroughbred Racing.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Amalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Adina Springs Stallion, point of entry.
Point of entry scores to win the Man of War by four lengths.
A five-time Grade 1 winner, viewed by many to be the heir to Dynaformer's global legacy.
Wild final furlong coming here in the Sword Dancer, and here comes point of entry, who's running to daylight.
The first horse since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined nine lengths.
And they're coming down to the finish, and Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a five-race winning streak.
Point of Entry hails from a remarkable female family, with his first four dams Grade 1 winners and or producers. Now with winners in six countries on all surfaces from 5.5 to 10 furlongs, including the sensational undefeated Greatest Stakes winner, Analyze It, widely regarded as the best turf horse in his crop. The heir to Dynaformer and the next global sire is Point of Entry. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
With less than a quarter of a mile to go, they run to the first finish line. Big time confrontation. Audible on the inside turns away the challenger, Free Drop Billy, and he now has three on the rest of the field. Inside the final furlong, no confrontation at all. Audible kicks away. It's Audible and jockey Javier Castellano to win the Holy Bull with style. They won it by five. Free Drop Billy well clear for second ahead of his barn buddy Tiz Mischief third. Fourth was Enticed in 141-4.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch. Billy White from Jimmy John's sitting in for the pontiff of the Pick Four as he enjoys a couple of weeks off. We are in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios.
Beautiful, immaculate studio.
You couldn't get a coffee cup today, though.
No, I couldn't. I guess got a styrofoam cup of coffee. We need a bigger Jimmy John's sign in here, or one at all.
Yeah, we do not have. Where is the Jimmy John's sign?
You know what? I'll get you the one that says "Free Smells."
Yes,
that we have at the store. Yeah, that neon.
You know, that's one thing here about when you go to any Jimmy John's location, not just the ones here in Lexington that you're part of, but the signs that they have in there are just, they're brilliant. And they're hilarious, and they're brilliant.
Fun brand. Jimmy's a character, and that all comes from him. It's been, like I said, a great ride. It's pretty simple. We were just listening to the last radio commercial. You've had that for 10 years. It's still funny.
Yeah. Stop it. Stephanopoulos.
That's too long. How about Ed? Ed's good, sir.
They're absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, and, good stuff.
You know, the approach that they've taken. So our poll question of the day that you can weigh in on our, you can vote on our Twitter feed at HRN or on our Facebook page, Horse Racing Radio Network. The poll question is, out of the three winners of last week's Derby prep races, which was most impressive? You just heard Pete Aiello with the call of Audible winning the Holy Bull Stakes, a race that you heard right here on HRN last Saturday. Well, lo and behold, no surprise, Audible is the leader in the clubhouse to this point. 50% of the votes coming in saying Audible's Holy Bull was the most impressive. Avery Island second, and Lambo third at 23%. So, I think that's kind of formful. I think if you were to say, okay, at least from the eye test, which ones are the most impressive, I think this is right. I think Audible, the way he – and look, he's done this a couple of times now. In his race prior to the Holy Bull, that was that off-the-turf race at – Aqueduct, and he just powered away from horses. Now, it was only a four-horse field, so he took it with a grain of salt, but he did the same thing and put away a grade one winner at the top of the stretch in the Holy Bull. He's a good horse.
Absolutely. And then you, of course, you think back, now you have to think about the other horse you just mentioned, and Lambo gets beat by 12 lengths by Axeman when Axeman broke his maiden. This could be a silly race this afternoon at the San Vicente.
Yeah,
crazy. Lambo comes back and wins. That's phenomenal.
Yeah, flatters the form of Axeman.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, how good is Axeman? We don't know. He's had that one start, 6 furlongs, and won by nearly 10 lengths, and probably could have been more, but he won by nearly 10, and here's a horse that is just going in the right direction, and we'll see if he can continue that in the San Vicente this afternoon. We're going to visit with Jay Privman of the Daily Racing Form. He'll join us from California to talk about that San Vicente and the entire three-year-old picture as they start their Derby watch at DRF. So we'll hear from Jay coming up in just a little bit. And the thing that strikes me about Axeman is that Bob's not rushing him into a two-turn race, and there's really no reason to at this point. We talked about the success of the San Vicente in terms of producing horses that have been either competitive in the Derby or have won the Derby, like Silver Charm and Nyquist. This is a good stepping stone, and you go from the 7/8, then stretch out and go two turns. He'll have two sprint races under his belt, then take your shot around the longer two-turn races and see how now that he gets some foundation under him, right?
Yeah, absolutely, and he's going to have a real fresh horse come May, right?
Yeah.
He's going to have probably three races and should be, Baffert knows what he's doing. He'll have him ready for Saturday
we're
in May.
We're sitting here in Feb, and Jay may have a little more insight as to what the plan is if Axeman runs well today, but I would assume that you're looking at a program where he goes to 7/8 today, he stretches them out, and then brings them back for one more prep, so say three starts in his three-year-old campaign before the Kentucky Derby. So he'll have a solid foundation.
Right. I wonder if he's going to – he can take him to Arkansas. Baffert loves to do that for the Arkansas Derby. Of course, he's got the Santa Anita Derby, I'm sure. And I'm sure he's mapped it out a lot better than I have. So,
yeah. And the other horse that Bob has out there is McKenzie. And McKenzie's undefeated.
Big horse.
He showed up every time. And McKenzie won the Sham Stakes on January 6th. He defeated a horse by the name of All Out Blitz from the barn of Simon Callahan, who is also back in the San Vicente today. So, some angles here to watch in terms of, who flatters who in this three-year-old division on the West Coast.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a great time of year, like you said. This is when we're all diving in and taking each race like we know what we're talking about, and it's going to be a great day.
Yeah, we have to send out some well wishes to our friends at West Point Thoroughbreds, Terry Finley. They're sending out, and I hope I say the name right, Cantaca. Could be Cantaca, but I think it's Cantaca with a silent H. From the barn of Jerry Hollendorfer, he'll be carrying the black and gold West Point colors this afternoon in that San Vicente. So good luck to them. He exits that maiden win at Santa Anita. Flavion Pratt will be in the irons, and we'll see if he can pull off the victory for our friends at West Point.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've read a lot about if you look at these past performances on the San Vicente, there's a bunch of speed in there. I kind of like the price on Cantaca.
Yeah.
I think it sets up for him, but that's kind of a speed favoring track out there. They're going to get on the front end, and they could just run crazy on the front end. But Axeman's going to have some company with Mr. Jägermeister right to his outside, and Nero both like to, and also All Out Blitz likes to be up front.
Yep. That's the other thing too. This time of year, you're really just trying to see, number one, where your horses are, especially if they're making their three-year-old debut. Where are they in their conditioning, in their mental state, in their preparation? And then, do we belong, right? Do we belong in the same discussion as the other Derby prospects at this point? And I won't even call them Derby contenders necessarily, because they're all prospects,
yep,
right? Even
agreed
horses like Good Magic, the champion juvenile. They're we don't know what he's going to be as a 3-year-old when he comes back, right? We don't know. So it's they're all just prospects, and you're trying to prove or find out where your horse is in that development stage, and does he belong in that discussion?
Yeah, and they'll learn a lot this next 30 days, starting with the Holy Bull, and then you'll sort out the pretenders from the contenders, I guess.
Yeah, I actually agree with HRN Nation in our poll question today. I thought, of course, we were there. We saw it in person, but I thought Audible was the most impressive. He passed the eye test. He ran away from horses. Avery Island, he can continue to improve. I think as the distances continue to increase for Avery Island, he's a big, strong horse. I think he'll be okay.
Who's the sire of Avery Island? You know
him? You had to ask me. I think it's Street Sense, right? Street Sense. Yeah.
He'll be able to run. He'll be able to get the distance.
Yeah, there's no doubt as the distances get longer. And then, you know, Lambo, we'll just wait and see. I mean, he got to the front, controlled the pace, and his first time around two turns, led every step of the way and drew off. And you know, look, he did what he was supposed to do, right? And nobody knows how these horses are going to improve over the next couple of starts. And we could be talking about a horse like Lambo come the first Saturday in May as being a major player.
Yeah,
that's the beauty of the road to the Derby.
Absolutely. I look at these past performances. You look at the works of Axeman. Ooh, they're going to have to be able to throttle that speed, man. 1 of 10, 6 furlongs in 112, 4 of 78. Last time out, he's sitting on go.
Hey, well, a good chance to remind you before we get to our next commercial break that if you haven't already done so, you want to participate in our Road to the Florida Derby Challenge and take your shot at winning a trip for two to this year's Florida Derby on March 31st, and all you have to do is head over to our website, horseracingradio.net, and you can enter your selection there. Still have time to catch the leaders and win, but you better start playing today. Today's feature race is the Grade 3 Suwannee River Stakes at Gulfstream. It is race number 10. 4:43 Eastern is the post. You have until 30 minutes prior to that time to get your selections in. Head over to horseracingradio.net right now and play in our Road to the Florida Derby Challenge for your chance to win a trip for two to this year's Florida Derby. All right, we're going to get to a break. When we come back, we'll get you set for a very busy second half of the show, and we're going to hear from trainer Anthony Steven, who joined us this past week on our Trainer Talk program presented by Fasic Tipton. I think you'll like this clip coming up. Stay with us. It's the Equine Forum on HRN, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Make plans now to attend the National HVPA Convention, March 13th to 17th in New Orleans, featuring discussions on the sport's hottest topics, including sports betting, inadvertent exposure to medications, and thoroughbred aftercare. You'll hear from guest speakers like Greg Venzel, Joe Asher, Ted Schultz, and Dr. Scott Stanley and Emily Woods. And prominent owner breeder Clay Witham will be on hand to deliver the keynote address. It's the National HVPA Convention, March 13th to 17th in New Orleans.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at tonysteaksandseafood.com.
Power. Carrot Condi, the favorite in front, the Spaniard News Al Canarias is fighting back. Carrot Condi has won.
Passion.
Prestige Vendome is making him fight all the way towards the line. It's Carrot Condi winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Carrot Condi with a rush on the outside goes Venom. Late run from Adam Dorr. Carrot Condi and Odor. Carrot Condi.
Gainsway Stallion Carrot Condi. The regally bred Breeders' Cup Mile winner recorded 3 Grade 1 victories on his way to earning more than $1.9 million. A precocious juvenile, Carrot Condi recorded a Grade 1 win at 2 before taking the prestigious French 2000 Guineas at 3, followed by an electrifying stretch run in the Breeders' Cup Mile to defeat older horses with a final time of 1:32 4/5. Cara Conti's first weanling sold for up to $250,000 with an average of more than $68,000. Cara Conti, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Jock Talk, an intimate, in-depth discussion with the best jockeys in thoroughbred racing.
It is an honor to introduce jockey Lafitte Pinkai Jr. Let's talk about that briefly here, Lafitte. So your style in Panama was mostly come from behind. Now, was there a big difference from the Panama riders to the riders here in the States in the way they rode?
I came with that style, that coming from behind style, you know, waiting for the last part, but over here, I found pretty quickly that you cannot stay that far back. You have to always be in contention, you know, to win races in California. So I had to adapt myself. If I want to change my style, I don't think I would have won so many races.
Jock Talk, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 219 and XM 206 and streaming live at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
How about this for an amazing statistic? In 2017, nearly half of the Group 1 races in Britain, Ireland, and France were won by horses either sired by Galileo, sired by Sons of Galileo, or out of Daughters of Galileo. How about that? So what's the relevance of this? Well, in 2018, Galileo's Breeders' Cup-winning son, Magician, is set to have his first runners in America. They will be with trainers such as Mark Cassie, Todd Pletcher, and Wesley Ward, just to name a few. And if you want to tap into Galileo's genes, Coolmore America's Magician represents exceptional value. For more info, all you have to do is give the sales team at Ashford a call. Mike Penna, Billy White with you in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios, getting set for the second half of the program, which will begin with Jay Pridman of the Daily Racing Forum coming up in about 5 minutes from right now. Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing at Gulfstream, will join us, and Keith Chamberlain from the NTRA going to get up early and join us live from the National Handicapping Championship in Las Vegas. Anthony Stephen joined us this past Wednesday night for an hour-long visit on our trainer talk show, which is presented by Fasig Tipton. You can go back and hear the whole show on our website, horseracingradio.net, as well as all of our Jock Talk programs and call-in shows. They're all there for you, horseracingradio.net. But one question that stood out to me, one answer in particular that Anthony gave. Now, Anthony's a former jockey, now training horses, just getting started with that career. One question that stood out to me was when I asked Anthony about the jockey, when he was riding, that he found most difficult to get past in the stretch if they were hooked in the battle. And his answer might surprise you. Here's what Anthony had to say.
I rode Malcolm Franklin, who is a really aggressive rider. I like his style of riding. So I rode him on, I think, my first runner at Turfway. And I told him in the paddock, I said, hey, it's because of you I quit riding, you know. And he was like, what do you mean? Because we had a ding-dong battle. I would say from the half a mile, we were locked head and head. He was on a two-year-old for Phil Sims. I was on a two-year-old for Kenny Cross. I was 50-1 on a sloppy track. And we just joined and made that move together, head and head, stride for stride down the lane. And I won by a short head. Mine was a first-time starter, 50-1, won the race. And after the race, was my wife's horse, who I know was going to win. I've been getting on this horse. She loved the slop. I booked off. I could not ride the next race. So I asked Dean Silvers to ride the horse, and he won. I say, this horse loved the slop. She will win. But that's how tired this guy made me. And I'm, like I said, I was fit. I didn't have to lose weight. You know, I wasn't weak or anything, but just the fact it was a sloppy track, you know, you kind of have to support the horse more on a sloppy track. And this guy rode me to the wire. And I was like, when I leg him up, I said, yeah, remember that. Because of you, I quit.
That's a great story.
Well, it is a great story. Anthony Stephen, you can hear the entire hour-long interview and Anthony, just tremendous with so many of the stories that he was able to tell us. Head over to our website, horseracingradio.net. Check that out at your leisure. That was not the answer I expected. I didn't expect Malcolm Franklin to be the guy that he thought was the toughest to get past. But his story for him, I mean, that was the one race that stands out to him. And, obviously Malcolm Franklin, one heck of a rider in the stretch when you hook him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when I hear that story, it makes me think about the jock when they're on the balls of their feet, on their toes.
Yep.
In those stirrups, not sitting on the horse, and they come back every day. They're working hard, whether it's a 6-furlong race or mile and an eighth or two turns or the turf. It's a tough sport.
Anthony didn't come back. He took off the next race. He couldn't do it.
He might have gone out that night, though. He was sitting on that 50-1 shot that won.
Yeah, it's not really his style. I don't think he went out that night, but I think Malcolm just ran him into the ground.
Sounds like it.
Yeah,
sounds like it.
Pretty cool stuff. Again, head over and check out the podcast of that program and all of our shows on our website, horseracingradio.net. Going to get to hour number two. That comes up next, a very busy second half of the show, and it kicks off with Jay Pribman right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Forever Unbridled. Abel Tasman charging but running out of time. Forever Unbridled's going to do it. Forever Unbridled has won the Breeders' Cup Distaff.
It is Irish War Cry. And on the outside, Taprit. Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish War Cry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Shaman Ghost is trying to get into second, then Neolithic. Back forth is Noble Bird, followed by Keen Ice. But what a race! What a sport! What a horse! Arrogate romps in the Pegasus. He won it by 3.5.
They're into the stretch. Good Magic's in front. Good Magic pulls away from Solomini, and Voltoro will not get there today. Good Magic's going to win his first race, and he's going to do it in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Now, here's Mike Pena.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, joined by special guest co-host Billy White of the Lexington, Kentucky area.
Present.
Jimmy Johns. Yes, he is in studio with us, moving closer to the first Saturday in May and closer to a lot of great things coming your way on the Horse Racing Radio Network over the next couple of months, including races like the Fountain of Youth and the Florida Derby, and of course the Sandy Lane Barbados Gold Cup, which is part of our Fountain of Youth show on March 3rd. So a lot of things to look forward to, White Shoes.
Am I going to be a guest host in Barbados? Do you need me there?
I'm available. Stay in the Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios and man the studio.
No, I need to be your on-site roving reporter.
Freaky fast, freaky good.
You're going down again, right? For Barbados?
Yeah, we'll be making the trip down, and Larry Colmus, the voice of racing on NBC, and Naira is going to join us.
Holy cow, that's phenomenal.
Yeah, he's actually going to call one of the races on the Gold Cup undercard this year, so that's pretty neat.
That's awesome, and that just puts me down further on the list, doesn't it?
Yeah, Pete Rotundo from the Breeders' Cup is coming down.
Dropping.
Huh?
What, my top 10 to go down there?
Hey, look, I think they're paying their own way.
Oh, boy. I might pay my own. No, I won't do that.
Barbados,
I'll just bring sandwiches.
It's a really neat thing. Make sure you tune in for that coverage March 3rd. You can head to our website, horseracingradio.net, to get more information there. Well, the road to the Kentucky Derby is really in full swing, and we are now only 84 days, 7 hours, 52 minutes, and 30 seconds away from that Run for the Roses beneath the Twin Spires on Saturday, May 5th. Of course, we will be there as your exclusive radio network of the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown. That coverage in partnership with our friends at NBC Sports and with Westwood One. And nobody has their finger on the pulse of the Derby picture more than our good friend Jay Pribman from the Daily Racing Forum, who joins us now. He's up early, 6 a.m. on the West Coast, to be with us here this morning. Jay, appreciate it, my friend. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Things are great. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Like you said, fun time of year with the Derby inching ever closer.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, I take a look at the DRF Derby Watch, which is on DRF.com. And I see names at the top of the list, expected names, like Bolt, Doro, and Good Magic, and McKenzie. But in fourth position, I see the name Audible, who was so impressive winning the Holy Bowl last week.
Right. Well, the way Mike Watchmaker and I do the Derby watch list is first we come up with the 20 horses that we're going to have on the list. And then he sets a future line or an odd line that would basically be as though these 20 horses were the Derby field. So he tries to do a line that balances, that comes in with the number of points that there would be adding takeout as though this was like the actual race. And then what we do is we list the horses in the order of his odds. So Bolt Oro's first, and as you mentioned, Audible is the fourth choice on the line that he has. But so it's not necessarily that we think he's the fourth best Derby prospect, though he certainly, you could argue that he might be. But the horses get listed in the odds order, and that's what the point of the comments are that he and I have. So then you can see through the comments what we like or don't like about those. And specifically in the case of Audible, I thought his race was really good, and I kind of compared him to last year's Derby winner, Always Dreaming, as sort of a late developer for Fletcher. And Watchmaker was more in the corner of, yeah, that was a nice race, but let me see him do it again.
Well, our poll question that people are voting on now, Jay, at HRN on Twitter, is which three-year-old was most impressive in those prep races last weekend? And it would seem obvious that people are going to vote for Audible because he won by open lengths, and he's the leader in the clubhouse right now. But you had Avery Island, who won the Withers, and you had Lombus, who came back and won the Robert B. Lewis in his first try around two turns. How about for you? Was it Audible, or was there another horse that kind of caught your attention?
Yeah, no, Audible was definitely the pick of those three. I thought his race was quite good. It was his first start around two turns, his first start outside of New York, first start in stakes company, and he was quite impressive. He won off. He got a strong buyer speed figure of 99. And I do an analysis of every Derby prep race about 24 hours after their runs that we put up on DRF.com. We've got a road to the Derby page. It's got a list of all the point scoring races, not only the ones that have been run, but you can look at which ones are still to be run and what the point values of those races are. And for the ones that have been run, we've got the winning buyer speed figure for that race, the chart of the race, and an analysis that I do where I evaluate every single horse who runs in every race. And of the three last week, I agree with where your poll's headed. I thought Audible was far and away the best of those three.
I noticed, too, that Catholic Boy is on the DRF Derby watch and should be. Catholic Boy 20-1 from the odds produced by Mike Watchmaker. I'm sure that is going to drop significantly if he wins the Sam F. Davis today.
I would think so. You know, the odds are in the hands of Mr. Watchmaker. I'm a big fan of this horse. I was really taken by him the week of the Breeders' Cup. He's just a big, good-looking, strong horse who's training lights out leading up to the Breeders' Cup. And he ran on the grass then, which was all that he had done to that point in his career. But they tried him on the dirt last time out in the Remsen, and I thought he ran a very good, very strong race. The form of that race was certainly flattered with Avery Island coming back and winning. And I just think this horse, just the way he looks physically, Mike, he just looks to me like the kind of horse that's going to get better and better as a three-year-old. And so I'm really excited to see him run today because I think he's one of the ones. I'm very high on him.
Yeah, Jonathan Thomas joined us in the first half of the program, Jay, and he said that he feels when the distances get longer, Catholic Boy is only going to get better. So that bodes well for him moving forward.
I hope he's right because I agree with him. And he's closer to the horse than I am.
Hey, Jay, good morning. This is Billy White. How are you?
Good, Billy. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's a real pleasure to talk to you. I can get some real good information today. I'm glad you're on with us.
No pressure, Jay.
No, none whatsoever. I guess my question would be if you're looking at the Sam F. Davis, is there other horses in there that might have a chance to jump up? I'm always a price player. I don't have enough money to bet too much of the chalk. Anybody else?
Yeah, it's not much of a gambling race with only seven horses and a pretty strong favorite who really does look like the horse to beat in there. I guess you could take a stab with Hollywood Star. I know that Dale Romans has been very high on him going back to when I visited with him at the Breeders' Cup. He said, I think this horse has got a chance to really develop into a nice horse. And when we spoke again the other day. He said of all the horses that he's got, he's made the most progress. That doesn't mean he's caught up to horses like Free Drop Billy and Tis Mischief, but that he's progressed a lot over the winter. And so I'm interested to see how he runs, to see if he has made that step forward. And certainly Vino Rossi. Vino Rosso, obviously you've got to always respect anything that Pletcher sends out in these kind of races. He's got a great record of knocking off a lot of these prep races on the road to the Kentucky Derby. And, you know, maybe Flame Away, he's at least got some proven dirt form in those couple of off-the-turf races that he's done well in. So, but it's hard for me, just because of what a fan I am of Catholic Boy, to kind of look past him. So the nice thing is they've got a great card today at Tampa, so even if you can't weigh in there, I think you'll have some other opportunities on that card.
Well, yeah, and you get to see World Approval in the race after the Sam F. Davis. How cool is that?
Exactly. Yeah. At an even shorter price.
Yeah, I was going to say, he'll be 4-5. That's at least.
He'll be half of that.
Yeah.
2-5.
Yeah, 2-5 on the morning line, and no doubt he'll take a ton of play in that race. He certainly stands out on paper anyway. Jay Pridman with the Daily Racing Form is with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network this morning. Jay, the San Vicente is the featured race for the three-year-olds this afternoon at Santa Anita. Not a Derby points race because it's a sprint race, but 7/8 of a mile. This is a race that's very intriguing, not just because of the Bob Baffert-trained Axeman, who's the morning line favorite, but historically, this is a race that has really shown us that it can produce a Kentucky Derby winner. 10 Derby winners have run in this San Vicente, and Axeman certainly looks like he could have a big chance to be in the mix.
He definitely could, and he's on our Derby watch list. He and Catholic Boy are the only two that have that are running this weekend that are on our top 20. You're right about the historical record of the San Vicente. He's as recently as Nyquist, he used it as a springboard. Most of the horses, though, Mike, who used the San Vicente and went on to win the Kentucky Derby, did so after having a fairly extensive 2-year-old campaign. Horses like Silver Charm, Nyquist, and the other 8. This is a slightly different situation because this is only the second start for Axeman, who only made his debut on January 1st, and this is kind of an intermediate step for him. He certainly has, we think, the potential to go on and be a major player over the next few months in the preps leading up to the Kentucky Derby, but I want to just point out sort of a slightly different feel for me in terms of, is this going to be the springboard to Derby success like the other 10, because those horses had a pretty good foundation, and here's a horse, specifically an Axeman, who's just really starting his career.
Yeah, and he's going to have to overcome that dreaded curse of Apollo, right? Because he didn't start until 2018, but it was January 1st, right? So I was going to ask
exactly.
you that. Are you
he's
buying
got
that?
No shot now. If only he had run on December 31st, all would be right with the world.
24 hours earlier.
Oh, the science that comes out of the DRF.
The literal definition of what a difference a day makes.
No shot to win the Kentucky Derby because he did not start until January 1st of his 3-year-old season. That, to me, that's just ridiculous. But historically, Jay, it has held up.
Well, I do think there is some merit to it because it is asking a lot for a horse to go from an unstarted maiden at the beginning of the year to, in slightly more than 4 months, winning a mile and a quarter race against the best of the division, and it's even harder now with it being a 20-horse field and so many wanting to run. You know, even horses as good as Curlin couldn't pull it off. So it is a tall order, and I do think it's going to be a tall order for Axeman as it gets closer, but I do think he belongs in the top 20 right now because I think he's got the potential to make the Derby field, but I also think it's asking a lot to make that progression, and I think that's why that situation with Apollo, you know, a horse not winning the Derby without racing a 2 since 1882 has held up for so long because it's just such a there's just so much development that needs to take place in such a compressed amount of time.
Are there any of the other San Vicente contenders that you would say, okay, if this horse runs big today, they're a horse that can have an impact on the first Saturday in May?
Yeah, this horse is going to be sort of like maybe the third, fourth, fifth choice in the race. It's Chris's Rocket Cat kind of intrigues me because his first start last fall at Santa Anita – He drew the rail and he didn't break, and he ran on well in a race that turned out to be super live, that Marinho won, and Stilled Regard finished third in that race. And those are two horses that are on the Derby watch trail and have won big prep races already this spring. And then he came back at the Fall Del Mar meet and won really nicely, again in a sprint, got a good buyer speed figure that day. And I think he's only going to get better with more distance. He's by Escondrea, and he's had a couple starts at two, and now he gets started off in a 7/8 race and then can move forward from that. So he is a real – he's kind of a sleeper for me. I think he's got the potential to run very well today, and I think he would do a lot better when he goes two turns, and you'd think a race like the San Felipe next month would be the next target for him, assuming that he runs a strong race today.
Can you give us an update on the other Baffert horses that are based on the West Coast, meaning McKinsey and Solimini? What are they doing now?
So both are in regular training now. Both are pointed for races next month. The races that they're both looking at are the San Felipe, which is at Santa Anita on March 10th, and the Rebel at Oaklawn on March 17th. And I think the plan as of today is to have one go to one of those races and the other go to the other race to kind of split them up. McKinsey's been in regular training. He did a lot in a short amount of time, and Baffert wanted to give him a little bit of a break leading up to the San Felipe or the Rebel, and not jam him back again into another race. So that's why he didn't run last weekend in that race that Lombo won, the Robert Lewis. Just wanted to give him a little bit of a chance to grow up, and he'll still have two more preps. Solimini's absence was more forced. He had a little bit of an illness. He missed several weeks of training, but he got back on the work tab last weekend, and now he'll start moving forward from that. So that's the plan for those horses. They'll both be in action again in right about a month.
Based on the Derby watch, it looks like you like McKinsey quite a bit.
Yeah, I would think if the race was run today, he and Bolt Doro and Good Magic would be the top three choices in the Kentucky Derby. And he's undefeated. Even though he got put up in one of the races in the Cash Call Futurity on a DQ, still to run as well as he did that day, and only his second start, first around two turns, running against proven stakes horses like Solimini. I thought that was a terrific performance, and he was even better, I thought, in the Sham last month. They took the blinkers off. He was not nearly as aggressive in the race. He settled better, and he finished the race off. He didn't beat as strong a field as he did in the Cash Call Futurity, but I liked the manner in which he did it, and he's continued to just train quite impressively. So he's certainly a top Derby contender.
Jay, that San Felipe on March 10th could be one heck of a horse race, and Bolt Doro, I believe, pointing for that spot too, isn't he?
Correct. Yeah, Mike, he is.
Wow. Wow. Now, what's the update on Bolt Doro?
So he just worked a couple mornings ago on, I guess it was Thursday. I was up at Santa Anita for his work, and that was his third work. He had had a little bit of a hiccup last month where he just wasn't training well. He was kind of stiff in his hind end, and they think that he had just some muscle soreness back there because they had a number of vets look at him. They just really couldn't find anything seriously amiss with him, and now he's gotten back into a regular program of gallops and works, and his plan now is to work every 6 days. So he worked on Thursday this week, just a couple days ago. He'll work back again next week on Wednesday, and then obviously the Tuesday after that, etc., leading up to his race. And his next to last work, which happens to fall on a Monday, Javier Castellano is going to fly out here and work him that day so that he can get a feel for the horse. The last work is on a Sunday, so that really wouldn't work with Castellano's schedule. But with no racing on that Monday, he's going to fly out here on Sunday night after the races at Gulfstream, and in the next to last work for Bolt Doro, get a feel for him because he's taking over as his rider starting in the San Felipe.
Jay Pridman, Daly Racing Form, joining us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Jay, I'm looking at your comments from the from your list, and it looks like you've got your eye on this guy closely, right? You're going to be watching for any kind of another hiccup, and that could throw him off the road.
No, it's true, Billy. I mean, at this point, any kind of a hiccup is going to be difficult for most horses to overcome, but especially so for one that's already had an interruption in his training, and that there's a question that you hope it's something that they've gotten over and it's not going to rear its ugly head again. So I'm hoping that Voltoro, whatever was bothering him, is now in the rearview mirror. But obviously all he's done to this point is have three workouts, and he's going to have more serious and stronger workouts as it gets closer, and then he still needs to perform like he did at two when he makes his three-year-old debut in the San Felipe. He's obviously an extremely talented horse. His first three races were excellent, and even in the Breeders' Cup, he got the Scenic Tour that day at Del Mar. He was just so wide, and he still ran a decent enough race to finish third behind Good Magic and Solomini. So he's got a lot of talent, and hopefully whatever was causing him discomfort has worked itself out.
Jay, just about a minute or so left before we have to get to our next commercial break, but we did receive a tweet from a listener who had a question for you, wondering if you had an update on the plans for Heck Yeah, the cowbred trained by Bob Baffert.
I would imagine he'd run in the Cal Cup Derby, which I think is next weekend, but that's not – I haven't asked him specifically about that horse. And I can assure you that on the Bob Baffert depth chart, he's not in the top five or six.
Yep. Yeah, the cowbred who last time out won the California Cup Turf Sprint Stakes. That was back on January 27th. Jay Pribman with us here on HRN. As always, a tremendous appearance here on the show. Jay, can't thank you enough for getting up early and taking the time. Enjoy the Enjoy the San Vicente today. And like all of our guests, we're going to send you a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. So we'll get that out to you and appreciate the time.
No, anytime, Mike. I appreciate it. And you know what? You know, have some sympathy for Billy. Take him with you to Barbados, will you?
Jay? I'm stuck with Colmus. I'd rather have Billy.
You're my new best friend. Thank you, Jay. Great stuff today, Jay. Thanks for the information. Impressive.
All right, guys, have a great
weekend. All right, Jay Pribman. Great appearance here and great information. Just absolutely outstanding and a lot of things to think about. And you can head over to drf.com to check out that Derby watch and get all that information that Jay was talking about.
I'll tell you what, Mike, you just take a look at that every week and you can get such information from those guys. Wow.
Tons. The thing I like about it is that they map out the next likely prep race so you can keep track of where these horses might end up next.
Absolutely.
You know, that's big because with so many different spots, horses going in so many directions all over the country, sometimes it can be difficult even for us to keep up. So
yeah, I'm writing notes as fast as he's talking on all this stuff. Great, great stuff.
Great source. All right, we're going to get to a quick break. When we come back, we're going to head down to Gulfstream Park and visit with Mike Nyman, the director of marketing, as we continue our Saturdays at Gulfstream coverage this afternoon. We'll tell you more about that on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Airdrie Studs Summer Front, a gorgeous millionaire son of the Great War Front, has wasted no time in establishing himself as a major force in the commercial marketplace. Known on the racetrack for his electric turn of foot, Summer Front's first crop weanlings averaged over $100,000 with a sensational $100,000 median at the Keeneland November sale, all from an initial stud fee of just $10,000. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Fans, come join us this Saturday at Santa Anita as top three-year-olds prep for the Santa Anita Derby in the Grade II San Vicente Stakes at 7 furlongs. Also on Saturday, fillies and mares go a mile and 1/16 in the Grade II Santa Maria, and older horses go a flat mile on turf in the Grade III Thunder Road. That's all this Saturday at the Great Race Place. First post time Saturday is at 12 noon. Admission gates open at 10 a.m. Santa Anita. Great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Avery Island is called on to finish the job. He leads it by two. Marconi and Firenze fire, both firing, but Avery Island maintains a comfortable margin with a 16th to go. Firenze fire, trying so hard in second. Avery Island is simply too good, and he wins the Withers.
Avery Island, the son of Darley Stallion Street Sense, stamped himself a major player on the road to the Kentucky Derby with a big win in the Grade 3 Withers at Aqueduct in his three-year-old debut this past weekend. And that victory makes Avery Island your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Street Sense, the first horse to win both the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and the Kentucky Derby. Avery Island became the third greatest stakes winner in 2018 for Street Sense. No stallion has more. To learn more about Street Sense and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It'll be a 3/8 of a mile dash for the money. Gianna's Dream with Ultra Brett turning up the pressure right now. Ultra Brett with a game middle move to take the lead. Gianna's Dream is asked to quicken, but Ultra Brett just sprinted ahead, and Ultra Brett comes off the turn with a two-length lead. Dream Dancing now sets her sights on the leader's second. Gianna's Dream has nothing more to offer. Back to fourth and Abbreviate with King's Ghost and Inside Out. Final furlong, Ultra Brett and Nick Warren has made an aggressive move around the far turn, and that move is a winning move. It's Ultra Brett to win the March. Was River by two. Dream Dancing was second. King's Ghost third. Inside Out fourth. And Abbreviate and Gianna's Dream in 145-1.
Mike Penna and Billy White Shoes. Billy White of the Lexington area Jimmy John's in our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios. Pete Aiello had the call for you of the Marshua River Stakes and Ultra Brat getting the victory that afternoon. And we'll be back in action in this afternoon's Suwannee River at Gulfstream. That is part of our Saturdays at Gulfstream coverage coming your way this afternoon, 4 to 5 Eastern on the network. Make sure you head over to our website to check out all the affiliates and SiriusXM channel information, and to listen worldwide, it's all there at horseracingradio.net. Well, Mike Nyman is the Director of Marketing, and he joins us in his usual position here at 9:25 Eastern. Mike, good morning.
How are you there?
Everything is good. Looking forward to another big day and excited about what we saw last week in the Holy Bowl with Audible just devastating that field.
Yep, looks like the real deal. So we'll see how it rolls into. I think he's going to skip the Fountain of Youth and run in the Florida Derby. That's what I had heard. So we'll see how that all plays out.
You know, it's interesting. I went back and did a little homework after that broadcast, and I noticed that the Holy Bowl Stakes has produced three Kentucky Derby winners. You had Gopher Gin in 94, you had Funny Side in 03, and then Barbaro in 06. And we know how productive the Florida Derby has been. 23, that's the most of any prep race.
Absolutely. And that's not a bad trifecta coming out of that race. Those are three really good horses.
Yeah, absolutely sensational. So look back on last weekend, Mike. We were there. We had a chance to visit in person. We talked about the excitement of that day, and I don't think it disappointed.
No, the place was hopping a week after the Pegasus. Didn't really know what to expect, but it worked out great. The crowd was huge here, and another big day. We did over $19 million in handle, so it was a great day.
Well, that's hey, good morning. This is Billy White. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Billy?
Doing great, and I just wanted to say thanks because you guys, the gambling and the bet handicapping and the turf races and the cards you guys are putting out are phenomenal. I just look forward to Gulfstream Park every weekend and try to play as much as I can. And the quality of races and the fields and all the horses you're putting on the turf like you said, you did $19 million last weekend. I know why. The cards have been phenomenal.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I'll pass on the good word, and it's much appreciated to our racing office. That crew works really hard. They work a lot of hours. I don't think people realize that sometimes the amount of work that goes on behind the scene to put on a card. Billy Badgett is taking over as general manager here. He's done an excellent job. Most people are familiar with him, you know, as a horseman, as a successful trainer, and he's here doing a great job here at Gulfstream Park. And again, I can't say how much to be in marketing, and they just put such a good product out, it just makes your job that much easier.
Yeah, 4 to 5 Eastern this afternoon, Mike. We're going to have two more graded stakes races from Gulfstream as part of our Saturdays at Gulfstream series, and that's the Grade 1 Gulfstream Park Turf Handicap and the Grade 3 Suwannee River. Tell me about what folks can look forward to later today.
So these two races will run as Race 9 and Race 10. As you mentioned, the Gulfstream Park Turf Handicap, that's a Grade 1 stake. You know, it's going at a mile and an eighth, and I actually did look over the race today a little bit before the show, and you know, it's a really good field of horses, no doubt about it. It's not an easy race to handicap. The horse that I love is with Javier Castellano, Money Multiplier, with Chad Brown.
Yep.
I just think this horse, you know, at a mile and an eighth is going to be really good. He's been running mostly, you know, a mile and a half, mile and three-eighths. But that little extra distance, shorter distance, can make a difference in a horse, and I think that'll be good for him. I also like Channel Maker on the outside, Nick Juarez. You know, it's always good to take a look at a Billy Mott horse on the grass, naturally. Nick Juarez has been a really good young emerging jockey. He rides really well on the grass. He's great with horses that come off the pace, and that's the style of this horse. And obviously, Javier rode this horse last race, and now Nick gets on him this time. I think this horse, you know, can definitely be somewhere in the ticket. So those are the kind of two horses I like in that race.
Are you going to give us? Are they going to be good prices? I need some prices.
Well, the 8 is a price. He's 10-1. So there you go.
Perfect.
And looks like Heart to Heart on the rail. The Brian Lynch horse with Julian Le Perreault up will be the favorite in the race. At least it is now. The morning line 5-2 favorite. And then, of course, the Suwannee River in the 10th race, and there you get it, you know, another graded stake race, grade 3. And that's an interesting race also because you see a lot of horses in here that have similar racing styles, like the close or right off the pace. You know, of course, you look right to the outside where, you know, the two favorites are Elise's World and Kitten's Roar. Obviously, it looks like the Kitten's Roar will be the favorite to see how this race kind of plays out because they both have similar type of racing styles. The long shots that I like is the 7 Dream a While, Chad Brown and Irad Ortiz, and then I like this horse, the 4 Flip Cup with Tyler Gaffleon and again Billy Mott on the grass. Tyler Gaffleon, I have to tell you, has been having a super year. He's been winning the 20% clip so far and 18% at this meet. So and we all know how tough the meet is. So Tyler always gives you an honest effort, and I think this is a type of horse. He'll be a big price that, you know, can get in on your ticket and give you some value.
We don't always get the chance to handicap with you on this segment, Mike. We're usually so busy talking about the promotions and other things that are happening. But when we have had the opportunity to do it, you've been pretty much spot on. And that Suwannee River Stakes is our featured race in the Road to the Florida Derby Challenge today. So people want to take some notes on the horses you like in there.
Yeah, that's that challenge is going great. I checked out the website today and looked at the leaderboard. It looks like you got a good, solid leaderboard with a lot of people in contention there for the prize. So, you know, I'm sure everybody that's in contention there is out there listening, and good luck. And looking forward to the winner and being here with us during the ExpressBet.com Florida Derby weekend.
Yeah, and you sweetened the pot a little bit last week on this very same program, Mike. You added one more thing to the package outside of the lodging and the airfare and the tickets to the event and all the good stuff that they're going to get, which is listed on our website. You added one more thing.
That's it. You're going to be invited the night before the Florida Derby, Friday night, to our paddock party that we have, which everybody knows, and Mike Pennick can tell you himself, who's attended it many times. It's a great evening. We put on a great show. Our food and beverage staff caters a great event for us, and it's a private party, and it's a big crowd, and a lot of people are always trying to get in there, and it's a tough ticket. So you'll be part of that, and you'll get to meet a lot of cool people will be there, jockeys, the trainers, the owners, and it's just a great industry event. So looking forward to being your host here on that weekend, and good luck.
Mike, I might have to climb over the fence for that one. I'll come in the back door.
We'll work something out for you, Billy.
Oh, thank you. Actually, we've been there. I have been there.
We did
one of the Florida Derbies a few years ago. I don't even think you were finished with construction then, but we were in the paddock for that party the night before, and it was phenomenal. By the way, you combine these kinds of races with 9, 10, 11, 12 being on the turf, big fields, great chance to bet, great betting opportunities. Oh, then the live product and the facility is phenomenal. I haven't been there in a while, but I'm telling you, that is a place where when you can go to see a live product, plus the casino, plus the other attractions around there, phenomenal. You combine all that, you guys have done a great job down there.
Yeah, thanks a lot, and there's going to be a lot more going on. I'm sure everybody's kind of seen the press clippings the last couple of weeks. They're going to be evaluating the entire property and looking at a lot of things to upgrade. We're looking forward to possibly they're going to increase the grandstand and the racing building itself, building a hotel on the property, and other types of retail opportunities. So it's this property has just been thriving. It's again, as we love to say, it was the brainchild of Mr. Frank Stronach. And you know what they were saying when I started here 8 years ago is certainly not what we're hearing today. People love this place. It attracts just about every type of person you can imagine, and families, and we're just so glad to be a part of all of it. And it's an exciting place to be.
Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing at Gulfstream, with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike, really appreciate the visit again. We're going to look forward to catching up next week, same time, 9:25 Eastern, and should be a lot of fun. Enjoy the afternoon. Enjoy those great stakes, and good luck.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. You guys have a great day.
Thanks, right. Mike. We'll see you in the paddock.
Like all of our guests. Mike Nyman will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. You're right about everything that they've done. And we talk about this a lot on this program because we are broadcasting from Gulfstream Park quite often throughout the year. But the vision has really come together down there, and it's pretty spectacular.
It absolutely is, and they stuck with it. Like you said, they're saying a lot of different things than they said 8 years ago.
Yep.
And that's Mr. Stronach and his crew is phenomenal. Great for the game. Yeah, great for the game.
Don't forget, if you haven't already done so, head over to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out that Road to the Florida Derby Challenge, a trip for two on the line to this year's ExpressBet.com Florida Derby, which comes up March 31st. And you get to be part of that party that he talked about, which is really neat. And then all the great things surrounding it with tickets to the event and the airfare, the hotel. And then, to make things even better, you get to appear on this program with Jude and I live from Gulfstream that Saturday morning. That's worth it right there,
boy,
isn't it?
Oh, boy. I'm out.
Is that a deal breaker?
It is for me. I got to get to Barbados first. But you combine all that, all of that, and oh, by the way, you're going to Miami, the Miami Beach area.
Yes.
Oh, that's a winner.
That's rough.
Yeah, absolutely.
Real rough. All right, we're going to get to one more break. When we come back, Keith Chamberlain joins us live from Las Vegas as we get you set for day number two of the National Handicapping Championship. It's going to be a good one. That's next on the Equine Forum on HRN, your home for the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Algorithms. This undefeated graded stakes winning son of Bernardini was the number two freshman sire by Black Type Horses. This year, his top runners include the talented multiple stakes winner Recruiting Ready. With yearlings selling up to 29 times his stud fee, Algorithms rewarded breeders with the highest rated return of his crop. Algorithms at Claiborne Farm.
Gulfstream's championship meet is in full stride. With a record 94 stakes races worth $28.6 million in purses, including the Fountain of Youth on Saturday, March 3rd, and the ExpressBet.com Florida Derby on March 31st. And every Saturday, be sure to bring the whole family out early to enjoy breakfast at Gulfstream from 8 to 10:30 a.m. This afternoon, watch and wager on two graded stakes, the Grade 1 Gulfstream Park Turf and the Grade 3 Suwannee River. For more information, visit GulfstreamPark.com.
And they're off.
Join HRRN for Saturdays at Gulfstream. Every Saturday during Gulfstream Park's championship meet, we'll bring you live racing coverage of Gulfstream's biggest stakes races, complete with expert analysis from our award-winning staff. This week's featured race is the Gulfstream Park Turf Handicap, Saturdays at Gulfstream, exclusively on HRRN. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information or to listen live.
Hi, this is Jockey John Court. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
And Friend to Me is picking it up. Then Bombacare from Pummy, Magic Notion Bass. They straightened past the quarter pole. Three quarters, 1 and a 13, and 2/5 seconds. 51-1. Diller Zetbauer has 3 more 16ths to find. Charging is Friend to Me at 11-1 on the outside now for Denny Velasquez. And here's Friend to Me, who's cut down Diller Zetbauer. Where Rose Royce has faded off the scene. Bombacare is now third. It's Friend to Me and Denny Velasquez. Diller Zetbauer for a long odds exacta. Make it 18-1. Bombacare third.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. Mike Penna and special guest co-host Billy White Shoes. Billy White sitting in for the Pontiff of the Pick Four in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. John Dooley had the call of that race from last year, Friend to Me. Now, that was a claiming race. Friend to Me won on January 28th of 2017. It was race 9 at the fairgrounds, and it was the race that catapulted Ray Arsenault to the lead in the NHC, the National Handicapping Championship at Treasure Island. Ray did not look back after that winning performance by Friend to Me. So no doubt that horse is a friend to Ray Arsenault, and Ray back to defend his title this year at the National Handicapping Championship, which is taking place right now in Las Vegas at Treasure Island. Keith Chamberlain from the NTRA scheduled to join us in this segment. We are, as they say in the business, efforting Keith Chamberlain right now. So hopefully be joined by him in a few minutes. But it's very early in Las Vegas.
And he
especially
not,
if you're in Las Vegas.
He probably hasn't come home yet.
Yeah. That's what he sent me an email when I asked him to come on the show. And I said, you know, it's going to be pretty early. He said, that's okay. I'll just be getting home from the bars, jokingly, of course. And I said, well, me too. So make for one heck of a show.
The thing about Vegas is, I'm not sure I've ever seen a clock on the wall of any casino. They pipe in really fresh, oxygenated air, and you don't know if it's 9 a.m. or 9 p.m.
Yeah.
The good and the bad of Vegas.
Yeah.
So he may not know what time it is.
For a 9. So I'm usually standing at the craps table cheering for 9.
And everybody else around you is yelling, here comes the cooler. Here comes the cooler.
The mush. Eddie Mush. All right, well, that's okay because it gives us an opportunity here to take care of some housekeeping business, including reminding you about this amazing statistic. In 2017, nearly half of the Group 1 races in Britain, Ireland, and France were won by horses either sired by Galileo, sired by Sons of Galileo, or out of Daughters of Galileo. And you say, okay, well, what's the relevance of that statistic? Well, in 2018, Galileo's Breeders' Cup winning son, Magician, is set to have his first runners in America. They will be with trainers such as Mark Cassie, Todd Pletcher, and Wesley Ward, just to name a few. And if you want to tap into Galileo's genes, Coolmore America's Magician represents exceptional value. And all you have to do is give the sales team at Ashford a call to learn more about Magician and all the amazing Ashford stallions. What do you think? If you were in the National Handicapping Championship, right? Let's say we're fortunate enough to qualify.
Right. I'm just working on that trip to Gulfstream right now.
You just want to... all right, so now I don't have to take you to Gulfstream.
Or Barbados.
Get you to Barbados.
I'll take Gulfstream. Absolutely.
Yeah. If you're there and you're the defending champion, you have a bullseye on you, of course. Everybody's shooting for you. But it's so hard to repeat in that particular competition because of the field, right? And you have to be so lucky. Everything has to break your way. But the strategy going in, I wonder if it changes when you're the defending champ or if you just say, I'm going to do what I did the year before.
Oh, I think
and
you
let's
stick
hope
with,
I get lucky.
You dance with who you brung. I mean, I noticed, to your point, I saw that. I think another high finisher last year was a guy who won in 2003 or something. So you're, to your point, it's very difficult to repeat. It's a great game, best ever as far as handicapping and wagering, but it's tough. It's a tough one.
As of right now, Michael Ryan is the leader in the NHC after day number one. He has a point total of 150.8. He leads over Paul Langley, Jonathan Zavara, and John Farrar are tied for third, and then Keith Fenton in the fifth position. It looks like a golf leaderboard.
Is our defending champ in the on the board?
You know, I was actually just scrolling through looking for his name. I don't see him on here. I see my good friend Rich Nilsson, who is in the mix. Rich is in the hunt. He's sitting at 27th right now.
They pay out top 10, don't they? I mean, you can...
It might even be more than that.
Yeah, a lot of $50,000 winners. I mean, it's a heck of a pot.
Jonathan Kinchin, he's in the mix. Yeah, some big names on that leaderboard. Don't see the defending champion Ray Arsenault. I'm scanning through. I'm down into the 50s now and haven't come across his name. But, you know, that's one of the things, too. I mean, we remember last week when we had a chance to visit with Eddie Olczyk on this program, and Eddie talked about winning the Pegasus World Cup betting challenge. And he said that going into that last race, the Pegasus World Cup, he didn't have much bankroll left at all. He had just over the minimum $3,000 required. He made some savvy bets with the trifecta with Gunrunner and West Coast and Gunnevera, made the trifecta bet, made an exacta bet, and next thing you know, he goes from basically last to first in that final race. So it can happen. So somebody like a Ray Arsenault, plenty of game left to play.
Yeah, Eddie O hit that. He delivered that cold exacta. I mean, he hit it. It was the two favorites. But,
right.
And I had it, too, and I lost $2, I think, on my total bet.
You didn't make as much money as Eddie did?
I boxed a few too many horses, but I did have those two in it, and it was a formful race, which is the better the races are, the better the horses hold their form, and it figured to be Gunrunner with West Coast.
That was an interview last week that generated so much interest on this program and so much interest on our HRN Twitter feed. There were several quotes that were tweeted out by Sean C., who handles our social media, throughout that interview. And Eddie talked about his cancer and everything that he has gone through with that cancer and the recovery and how he's getting to the end of his treatments now. And people from all over the world were chiming in to that tweet on our Twitter feed, and we're sending him well wishes and telling him that, hey, we have you in our prayers. I mean, it just shows you how powerful this industry really is, right? I mean, it is a close-knit industry.
Of all the years that I've been involved with it here on this with you guys, through Jimmy John's, through our horse partnerships, what I find is there's just a million stories like that of people, whether it's trainers or jocks or family members or your work with disabled jockeys, and it's phenomenal. It's great stuff. And Eddie O's he's a real deal. And deserves the support.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Simply tremendous. And looking forward to hopefully seeing him back as part of the NBC broadcast team later this year with the Triple Crown races and, you know, certainly Kentucky Derby. Of course, we will be there on the radio side in partnership with NBC Sports and Westwood One as your official home for the Derby and the Triple Crown. And you can follow us down that road with our broadcast of many of the major prep races. It's all there for you with our complete schedule and listing of affiliates and SiriusXM information at horseracingradio.net. And by the way, while you're there, check out the podcast of our programs and stream us live every time we're on the air. Listen on your computer, your smartphone, your tablet. You can take us with you wherever you might be. Horseracingradio.net is the place to be for all of that programming.
Phenomenal. I'll be there.
Yeah. Listeners in 160 countries made us their home for racing coverage last year. How about that?
Not surprised.
No.
We've been at this a long time together.
Yeah. 15 years. This is the 15th year that I have been on radio as part of HRN.
We've been close. We've been partners since then, haven't we? About to start.
Yeah, a year or so. Yeah. Yeah, right about 15 years. All right, Billy White, Mike Penna, we are in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. Keith Chamberlain with the NTRA is up early in Las Vegas. We do have a couple of minutes left in this segment to visit with Keith. Keith, welcome, my friend. Happy to have you on board.
Good morning. Good morning.
Glad we found you.
Yeah, well, I've been wandering the halls here on the second floor of the NHC with about a couple hundred horse players who are up bright and early and getting ready for day two of the NHC.
Exciting day number one, and a lot on the line again this year, Keith.
Oh, there really was. And, of course, the day one leader, Mike Ryan, posted a bankroll of $150, and 80 cents on 18 win place wagers on 10 optional and 8 mandatory races throughout the day, and he bested a record field more than 700 individuals and entries, 703 total, playing for nearly $3 million, $2.967 million. So
wow.
Just going to be a great day, too. Everybody trying to make that top 10%. That's the money line. If you make it into the top 10%, you're guaranteed at least $4,000. And, of course, the grand prize is $800,000. So a lot on the line this afternoon, but it should be very exciting.
Keith, this day number two, is this kind of like the Saturday in a golf tournament, that moving day where the handicappers will try to put themselves into a position to have success on Sunday?
Well, it really is, and I think, you know, why everybody always wants to see who the leader is. The important score today for most of the players is 70th place. That's the cut line. That's how you get into tomorrow's semifinal round. So I think a lot of people will be looking at that 70th place and saying, how do I get into the top 10%? That's what's most important today, not being on top of the leaderboard.
I would assume that if you're chasing a little bit, right, if you're down at the bottom, you're going to make some changes to your strategy, correct?
Well, you probably are, but, you know, there's still plenty of time left, particularly if you're, you know, if you're not focused on trying to get all the way up to the top of the leaderboard. So, you know, stranger things have happened. Last year, Ray Arsenault was back. I think he was in about the 500s after day one. And, of course, he came roaring back to be the leader after day two. So it's very possible. And, of course, you have to have some racing luck on your side. But a lot of racing left, and should be a really, really fun day out here in Las Vegas.
Yeah, and it makes it so difficult to repeat. A guy like Ray Arsenault trying to go back-to-back, very, very difficult considering the competition that he has to overcome. And then you throw in the newcomers. I think I read, Keith, a record 195 first-time qualifiers in this year's NHC?
That's right. We got a lot of rookies who've rookie NHC qualifiers this year. And, of course, it's great to see the new faces. And some of them performed very well on day one. So, you know, that's going to make things interesting as well. All the newcomers in the room. We've also got 13 past champions and every tour winner since the tour was formed nearly 10 years ago. So just really, really stout competition, which makes, you know, winning this event all the more special.
Keith, for people that are listening to this and they're listening to us talk about the NHC and they're maybe on the fence, they haven't taken the leap to play in a tournament yet to try to qualify, but maybe next year they'll do it. What do you want them to know about the NHC and the qualifying tournaments?
Well, I would say they're fun. They're easy to play. They're not easy to win, but they're easy to play, and they're a lot of fun, and it's a different way to play our, you know, what I think is the greatest sport in the world, and that's, you know, wagering on thoroughbred racing. So I would encourage anyone to go to NTRA.com if they want to learn more about it. Costs $50 to join the tour. You get all kinds of perks along with that membership, but it also, of course, makes you eligible to win a seat to go to Las Vegas. So it's the games are easy. They're already starting. They start this coming weekend on horseplayers.com. We've got a bunch of online games. They're not that expensive. It's $18 to play in what we call a feeder tournament. And we have a mentor program where we have some of the best players in the country that'll take you, hold your hand all the way through the process. So saw one of our best players day before yesterday. Said, "What are you doing?" "I'm going down to the lobby to meet the guy I've been mentoring all year," who qualified for the NHC. So just it's a lot of try to make it as easy as possible for people, but you just got to get involved and start playing.
Yeah, and a lot of ways to follow the tournament over the next couple of days. You can do it on the NTRA website, ntra.com/NHC. You can do it on the NTRA Facebook page, facebook.com/1NTRA. And our radio brethren, Steve Bick, is on location at the tournament. You can follow him as he broadcasts live from the tournament on his website, stevebick.com. along with Pete Fornatale. So a lot of ways to follow it and a lot of ways to get excited about NHC 2018. And Keith, really appreciate the visit, my friend, and go enjoy the rest of the day and tomorrow.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right. Keith Chamberlain here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We're going to get to one final break. We'll come back and wrap it up for you. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Castleton Lions is home to Blue Blood sprinter Justin Phillip and multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Justin Phillip was North America's number one ranked second crop sire by earnings in January of 2018. Represented this year by exciting stakes place three-year-olds Upset Brewing and Blushing Justine, along with Riano Tesoro. Now 3-for-4 lifetime after taking the 36 million yen Crocus Stakes at Tokyo Racecourse on January 27th. Justin Phillip is also the sire of What a Catch, winner of last year's Rockville Center Stakes at 2. Seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance. The sire of Eclipse champion and Breeders' Cup sprint winner Dre Fong
has won.
Canadian Classic hero Sir Dudley Diggs
has won the Queen's Plate.
And marathon specialist Runtime.
But Runtime, motors on the outside.
Justin Phillip and Gio Ponti standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir. Hello, boss? Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Roger.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Roger.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Power. Carrick Condi, the favorite in front. The Spaniard, News Arcanarius, is fighting back. Carrick Condi has won.
Passion.
Prestige Vendome is making him fight all the way towards the line. It's Carrick Condi winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Carrick Condi with a rush on the outside goes Batum. Lead run from Adam Dahl. Carrick Condi and O'Dahl. Carrick Condi.
Gainsway Stallion Carrick Condi, the regally bred Breeders' Cup Mile winner, recorded three Grade 1 victories on his way to earning more than $1.9 million. A precocious juvenile, Carrick Condi recorded a Grade 1 win at 2 before taking the prestigious French 2000 Guineas at 3, followed by an electrifying stretch run in the Breeders' Cup Mile to defeat older horses with a final time of 1:32 4/5. Carrick Condi's first weanling sold for up to $250,000 with an average of more than $68,000. Carrick Condi, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
This is Jockey Rajiv Maharaj, and I love the Horse Racing Radio Network, the best show on the planet.
Hey, don't forget the Blood Horse Magazine has been covering thoroughbred racing and breeding for over 100 years. And it's the industry's only weekly magazine. For feature stories from the industry's best writers, in-depth analysis, award-winning photography, stake shells, and even comprehensive coverage of the ever-changing world of thoroughbred racing, it's Blood Horse Magazine. You can subscribe by going to subscribe.bloodhorse.com today and sign up. A lot of ways to follow racing. And one of those ways is right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And this was a very busy 2 hours. Jonathan Thomas joined us in the first half of the show. Jay Privman, great appearance talking about the three-year-olds in the second half of the program. Mike Nyman and Keith Chamberlain just a few minutes ago. If you missed any portion, head back to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out the podcast of this program. Billy, about a minute or so left, but I do want to let you give a quick shout-out for Jimmy John's. Of course, you've been part of this program for nearly 15 years now. Thank you for your support, and quick shout-out for Jimmy John's here in Lexington.
We just listened to 12 commercials. I think we've had lots of good shout-outs about Jimmy John's. We're just tickled to death to be part of Lexington, the Bluegrass, and it's a great brand. We work hard at it, and you know, from one store to 11, has been a great ride. And it's been 20 years for us, too. So yeah. We're committed to this community. Community's been committed to us.
And to the horse business, by the way. Yeah. And to the horse business. I know you do an awful lot catering out to the sales.
We sure
do. Keeneland and Phasic Tipton and those areas. So, yeah, stuff.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. It's been a great ride, and we're looking forward to continue.
Yeah, well done. All right, well, again,
thanks for having me.
If you missed any portion of this, head over to horseracingradio.net and check out the podcast of this program and all of our shows. We're back 4 o'clock Eastern, Saturdays at Gulfstream coverage with Anthony Stabile. 4 to 5 Eastern, the Gulfstream Park Turf Handicap and the Suwannee River. For our producer, Lee Delapina, for Billy White Shoes in studio with me this morning, and for our Sean C. with our social media, I'm Mike Pena, and yeah, hey, they're back off suspension. Go Steelers.